Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone. Oh, wait. That's not how we start minisodes. No. I've never started a minisode in my life. Taking that again. Take two. I don't know about you, but it's 2022. Everything will be all right if you keep me next to you. You don't know about me, but I'll bet you want to. Everything will be all right if we minisode like it's 2022. Ooh. 2022. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to your first podcast of the new year.
Wow.
Holy cow. Can you believe it? We made it.
I can't believe it. I swear I've told this story on the podcast before, but do you remember the night that I turned 23? We were driving to Disneyland, and I insisted that we listen to that song on repeat until midnight because it was the only time that it would make sense to me as a person. And your brother Alex was like, I will kill you. And I was like, you can't kill me. It's my birthday.
I'm fairly certain you told that story on Minisode 22 because I definitely not the first time I have sung that song on a Minisode.
Well, bitch, welcome to Minisode 54.
Our Minisode in 21-22. That's going to be wild because I'm going to pull that song out again. Just
I
wait another 100 years, baby.
It's
going to be crazy.
Everyone start your advent calendars for 21-22,
y'all. 21-22.
I made a chain link one.
It's going to wrap around the entire planet by the time we get there. Hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I spent my New Year's Eve on Animal Crossing. It was pretty cool.
Woo!
It was pretty exciting. Honestly, it was pretty lit. And I'm a mini Gleek.
Hi, everybody. My name is Lena Knatzer, and I spent my New Year's a similar way playing Animal Crossing, but mostly watching The Matrix and just sad. Because I've got, you know, the COVID-19. And then I finished out the night watching The Last Jedi. Oh, man. I started the new year right.
That's a spoiler for this week's episode because, you know.
That I have COVID?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I sob about it on the Maxisode, y'all. Get excited.
It's funny that, like, this, the first time anyone will hear it, is just like, yeah, so this thing happened.
Well,
and then in 2 days, it's an announcement.
I've got no tears left to cry. Listen. I've got no tears left to cry. I've been sobbing about this. I sobbed about this last night. I can't sob about it. All I can say is, if you're not vaccinated, get vaccinated. What is your deal? Anyway.
So, happy 2022, everyone. New year, new me. New year, new Glee. Let's hear your thoughts.
How long have you been planning that?
I literally came up with it as I said it.
How are you so smart?
I don't know. Just lucky, I guess.
That totally sounds like you were practicing that in the mirror. But you're just too smart for that. Improv king.
True, true, true.
Let's kick this new year off with a message from Liam.
Howdy, pals. It's Liam, he, him, for the very exciting third time. Just wanted to let you guys know that Alex Newell uses all pronouns. So you haven't been wrong by using him, he, him, but I know that my friends who use all pronouns like me to switch it up when referring to them rather than just sticking to one set. Do not sweat it at all. I would have sent this in earlier, but I honestly thought someone else would say something in the most recent minisode. I get so anxious about sending emails for some reason. I mostly know this because I was researching Alex Newell for an essay I wrote about Unique for feminism class, which you will probably be hearing summarized thoughts from as Unique appears more in future episodes. And although I'm trans, I do not have any experience using multiple pronouns. So if anyone has anything to add, please do. Consensual Forehead Kisses. Keep up the great work, Liam. Liam, thank you so much for this email. Thanks for reaching out to us. Thanks for being so respectful about it. I think we just have tended to default to he, him, just because during the Glee project, Alex was going by he, him. And so it's just, you know, like hot on the brain hearing everyone say he, him in the show. So thank you. And also, frankly, like I know plenty of people who are non-binary, but I don't know a ton of people who use all pronouns. And yeah. So I was not aware that people, when they do use all pronouns, appreciate like it being switched up. So yeah. Thank you so much for reaching out to us. Thank you for telling us that. In further discussions of Alex Newell, we will make it a point to use multiple pronouns to shake it up, to spice it up, baby.
Hell yeah. We respect pronouns in this family, and we switch them up if you want us to. Yeah, just what Ian said. Thank you so much for reaching out and letting us know. In turn, letting the rest of our listeners who, if they didn't know, they know now. So thank you so much. Up next, we have a message from Haley.
Hi, Lena and Ian. I'm Haley from the UK, she, her. Longtime listener, first time emailer. My too long didn't read is that Ryan never wanted a woman to win this series. The first time round watching the Glee Project, my absolute favorite was Cameron, followed by Damien, and I wasn't too disappointed with the overall outcome. But rewatching it, I now realize that mostly came from being a 16-year-old who thought they were both extremely cute. Rewatching at 26, while I enjoyed both of them, I really think that some of the best people in this competition were kicked out too soon, the main one being Marissa. She did not deserve to be kicked off the show that week at all. It is my opinion that Ryan Murphy made up his mind that he didn't want a woman to win, at least this series, either before filming even started or a few episodes in. This was confirmed for me when he makes a comment in the penultimate episode that he wanted to get rid of Lindsay sooner, but the show needed a girl on it. I think he was talking about the Glee Project and not Glee. I genuinely think he dropped Marissa when he did because she was a girl and he had the chance to. I don't think she did anything wrong. She could sing, dance, and act. She was also vulnerable when she needed to be, maybe even too vulnerable, and had a great attitude and was good at taking direction. If anything, her only real flaw was being too pretty. I'm not saying she should definitely have won, but she absolutely deserved to be in the final four. Although if she did win, I could definitely have seen them trying to tackle an ED storyline with her, bringing up real trauma and doing it terribly. It could have been painful, so maybe she is better off without the show. Thanks for reading. I love your show, Haley. Haley, it is a strong shared opinion in this house that Marissa was gone too soon from the Glee project. It is a travesty. It's also opinion in this house that Ryan Murphy is a little bit of a misogynist and did not want a woman to win this show. So we completely agree with you.
You know what? I would think that Ryan Murphy is a bit more than a little bit of a misogynist. I'd just say he's a misogynist. Maybe he doesn't admit it because he loves Leah Michelle. And that's his baby, but, you know, we all have our
favorites. I just don't like to make big claims on people I don't know.
So you're right.
I'm listen, afraid it will come back to bite me in the butt.
One time, in the middle of the night, I had a real panic attack. A real, like, sobbing, like, on the bathroom floor panic attack. That one time I said, you guys don't tell anyone I said this. I said it on the podcast, so you can go find it. And I say it a lot, but the first time I said it, I said, Ryan Murphy, I'm going to kill you. And I was like, Ryan Murphy, what if he sues me? What if he thinks I'm serious? So maybe you're right, we shouldn't be making big claims, because in my mind, Ryan Murphy is this close to suing our asses.
He's got a notebook, he's writing down notes.
Ryan Murphy's not a misogynist, he loves women.
he writes them so well.
Mm-hmm. I can tell by his love of me and Leah Michelle.
Haley, I got a theory, and that theory is that you're going to enjoy our next episode on the last of the end of the Glee Project season one, because we talk about a lot of this stuff. We already recorded it. Yeah. We talk a lot of game about Marissa being voted off, and Lena makes some excellent points as to why she thinks no woman had a chance at winning this competition from the jump.
Yeah, well, they didn't. we saw like Emily going home, and it was like, why did Emily go home? No reason. Well, her Hear last chance performance wasn't great.
Yeah.
But listen, Emily was great. If Ryan Murphy, this is another spoiler for our next episode, if he had watched the music videos even a little bit, he would know like to love Emily and to love Marissa. Honestly, Marissa, I love you.
That's why I think Marissa is the key piece of evidence. Because every other girl, there is a real, like, it's not like, certainly this girl should have gone home, but like, there's a case to be made. You know, like, Ellis was having a hard time. Emily's last chance performance wasn't very good. McKinley just looked bored. So like,
McKinley, yeah.
Yeah. So like, I can kind of see how they went home. Doesn't mean I agree with it, especially McKinley. Mm-hmm. I did not think deserved to go home that week. But Marissa, it's like, there is no world. Yeah. Where she of these three deserved to go home this week. Gosh. You just don't want a girl sticking around.
Rewatching that episode was such a mind fuck. And I mentioned this like on the episode that I convinced myself that Cameron was going home. And when Marissa went home, because there was no evidence to Marissa going home. Gosh, I'm glad we all share the opinion. But what the hell? Marissa, gone too soon. Love you, girl.
It's so wild.
Everything's going well after your catfishing situation. I cannot stop thinking about that. Every time I see her, I'm like, oh, poor girly.
Honestly.
I know.
Oy, oy, oy.
Well, heck. Haley, thanks for sharing our opinions. Haley, thanks for sending this in. Up next, we have a message from Sarah.
Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Sarah, she, her, and I am a national listener.
Wait, what the fuck are you wearing?
That's okay. We'll take a beat from Sarah. I'm so sorry, Sarah. We'll come back to your email. A recovering Gleek for the podcast t-shirt.
Wait, what? Where did you get that?
Okay, so Lena and I have been wanting to do merch for a long time. And then like a month ago, I looked into genuinely making merch, and I was doing a trial run on a website because, you know, you should beta test things yourself before you let the general public do it and make sure that they work out.
So, buy something yourself before you sell it to others.
Yeah. So I designed a bunch of shirts, and like, did I show you pictures of them? We for sure were talking about it. I showed you pictures of them.
I know they're in existence, but I didn't know that you received them.
Yes.
I told you to Marco Polo me when you got them.
Frankly, it came so late that by the time it came, I forgot. And here's why all you listeners out there might think, there's Recovering Gleek merch. Why haven't I heard anything? You haven't heard anything because the website I beta tested sent me the merch I ordered 4 weeks after they said they would, and one of the pieces was missing.
What?
I ordered a shirt and a sweater.
Yeah.
And the shirt arrived 4 weeks late and the sweater never arrived. And I said, you know what?
That's not the website.
Yep. I'm not going to use this website for our listeners, but I did get this cool shirt out of it.
I know, you look great. I'm very excited about it. Can you do a little modeling sesh for me? I won't even describe it to the listeners so they can still be excited for the merchant in the future.
I'll just post this on the Instagram now. Everyone check the Instagram. I was going to keep it a secret, but it's all right. Because I was afraid.
I just saw it and I freaked out.
I just never posted it because it was always like, I would post a picture and everyone would get excited that there's merch, and then I'd have to explain that there wasn't merch because the website sucks.
Yeah.
But now that explanation is here. So anyone who sees the picture will know that sadly you can't order this. Hopefully you will be able to soon. We're going to beta test some other sites.
I'm so sorry, Sarah, but this is so important to me.
Here we go.
Okay. Ooh! Ah! Oh, that's cute. I like that. Ooh, you look great.
There you go. I'm bummed because the sweater is the one I was more excited about.
Yeah,
and it
totally
got lost in the mail. Oh, well.
Well, we'll just have to find a new website.
Because you could make a whole merch wardrobe, essentially, and I had like baby onesies on there.
I saw that.
I was going for it.
I love that.
Alas.
But you have tons of babies in your family. That makes sense.
That's honestly, and I could have bought it for their birthdays. I just want them to be preaching the good word.
I know. The good word of Recovering Gleek.
Well, shoot. Hopefully merch coming soon, but who knows when, because we're going to have to
I know.
Look at some more options till we find one that's reliable. And is it, because the issue is the ones that are like certifiably definitely reliable.
Yeah, are super expensive.
Yeah, they take such a big cut that for us to make any money, we would be making people pay like obscene prices. And I don't super love that.
Yeah, I don't love that either.
Yeah. So we're going to keep looking around. We're going to keep trying to figure it out.
How about you, me, get a screen printing machine?
Yes. We got the time.
Yeah, and the skill set.
Truly.
And the money for ink.
Let's learn to embroider and hand embroider each shirt.
If I could, I would.
Yo, that genuinely would cost a ton of money and should cost a ton of money.
Yeah. I got very obsessed with this woman on Etsy who makes berets, like embroidered berets, like $300. And I really was like, maybe I'll get one. Maybe I'll just be a little silly and get an embroidered beret. I've never worn a beret in my whole life. I'm not a casual hat girl. Anyway. Dang. Sarah, I am so sorry. I just was bombarded with his shirt and I just needed to know what he was wearing. I'm sorry, Ian. I also was very aggressive.
Oh, no, you're good.
I'm just so excited.
I've worn this shirt. Gosh, I got it like freaking 4 days ago. No, I got it the day after Christmas is when it finally arrived. And it is currently New Year's Day. And this is my third time wearing it.
I love that, you stinky man.
All right, back to Sarah. Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Sarah, she, her, and I'm a national listener. Lena, I had the exact same reaction after watching the clip in Tenacity where they're trying to force Hannah to do choreography that she clearly couldn't do. I got so upset I had to pause and come back to the episode. Why couldn't Zach show Tenacity by changing the choreography so it worked for everyone? I did dance as an elective in high school, and my teacher, who was certainly getting paid less than Zach Woodley, was able to make choreography work for classes of 30-plus people, all with different body types and dance capabilities. I feel like they purposely made the choreography so that it would be difficult for Hannah or Alex to get, just to show that they weren't tenacious, so if they ended up in the bottom three, there could be a reason behind it. Probably the most frustrating part about the choreography was the fact that they didn't even use it, except in a shitty slow-motion iMovie effect, which made me even more pissed off. I assume they didn't use it because nobody looked good doing the dance, which, again, as on to my previous point that Zach should have changed the choreography to fit the contestants, which I bet that he was told not to do so that the contestants could show their tenacity. Also, I was definitely not expecting Marissa to go home that early. I had never watched the show before, but I had watched season three, so I knew who generally was going to make it to the end. But based on all of Marissa's performances, I assumed she would make it to like the final five. Since I do not have the rose-colored glasses of the 2010s and therefore do not idolize hipsters, I didn't really get Cameron's thing, even after he performed his original song. I just kind of thought he was a conventionally attractive white man who was probably in Young Life. I do wish he didn't quit the show, though, because Samuel just kind of annoys me. I'm not sure if that's because I don't like Joe or what, but I do think that Samuel would not have won had Cameron stayed. My absolute favorite part of every episode, though, is when they do a talking head of Robert Ulrich, and he says something along the lines of, "It's going to be really hard to pick a bottom three this week. Everyone has worked so hard, and we are really going to need to analyze this video." And then the cut to the music video.
That was a good impression.
Thank you so much. I have been practicing my Robert Ulrich impression for years.
You're doing so good.
I'm always like, oh my gosh, Jerry Seinfeld overdone. Cher, everyone has a Cher impression. You know what people are... You know what the masses are screaming for?
Begging.
Robert Ulrich, casting director of Glee impression.
Listen,
oh
my
gosh.
I've been begging. Can't deny my need.
And then the cut to the music video. It kills me every single time. I also love the intro where they try to say the Glee Project in the same tune as the Glee intro, and it does not work at all and sounds horrible. Another completely random thought that has nothing to do with anything, but the episode Sexuality aired on my 10th birthday. Kind of gross, but happy birthday to me. Thank you, Ashley Fink, for being the only guest judge on that episode in honor of my 10th birthday. Anyways, happy new year, guys. I have so much love and appreciation for you and your podcast. So much love your way as we head into the new year, and I hope you feel like the one meme of the woman stepping onto the new year. Consensual forehead kisses, Sarah.
Sarah, I do feel like the one meme of the woman stepping onto the new year. thank you so much for this message. I absolutely agree with everything you said. I mean, listen, I probably get why Zach Woodley didn't change the choreography. And like you said, Sarah, like, they wanted to show the kids being tenacious. Whatever. Okay. And then Marissa going home. What was that about? And then, yeah, Samuel, Cameron. Congrats on not having rose-colored glasses on for the 2010s, because my ass still listens to Arctic Monkeys on the reg.
That's not something that Arctic to be Monkeys ashamed are, of.
I know, but listen, I still dress like it's 2012, which is so annoying. Like, I'm all about, like, knee socks and, like, plaid skirts and, like, stupid, like, black shirts with holes in the chest. Like, I need to grow. It's 2022. It's 10 years later. I have, like, the grip that, like, 2010s culture has on my ass is so annoying.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, I feel like the era when you ended high school and began college is, like, the most influential era of your entire life. My dad will never get over the 70s, I swear. He will never get over the fact that music was so much better in the 70s, mm-hmm. and the 70s were the best, and everything after the 70s is a wash. And hear me out, 70s music rocks. Yeah. I'm not going to fight him on that. But, like, you know, I think it's pretty normal. I don't think you're weird for having, like, the year that you turned 16, like, live in your heart forever.
I just, like, I see so many, like, young women, especially just young people in general, like, really embracing, like, especially style, like, their own personal style and, like, what they, like, you know, in their heart want to wear. And not that I don't want to wear 2012 clothes, because maybe that is what's in my heart, but I just would love to, like, experiment with different things and mm-hmm. listen to different things. I mean, I listen to, you know, Taylor Swift and, like, music from the 2010s, and that's it. You know what I mean? I just, like, it's a new year, new me. I gotta switch this up.
I literally have a podcast that is just music from the years 2011 to 2013.
I thought you were gonna say I literally have a podcast based on a show that aired in the 2010s.
You think that because I misspoke and I meant to say playlist, but I also literally have a podcast based on a show that aired in the 2010s.
And I was going to be like, oh, you're so weird.
But no, if 2010s forever in our hearts.
For real. And the grip that hipsters had on my ass and still have on my ass. Ay, ay, ay.
Dang.
I can't deal. Sarah, thank you so much for this message for multiple reasons. Well, go ahead.
Also, Sarah, thank you so much for pointing out how the choreography ends up looking in this music video.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Sarah.
I remember the episode, you know, the choreography is such a strong through line. Uh-huh. And, like, Hannah is obviously the biggest part of that plot line, but uh-huh. everyone is talking about how, like, this is the most intense choreography we've ever done. It's so hard. It's so crazy. And then I finished the music video and I was like, did I miss it? I don't remember it.
and there was also no mention of it was going to be backwards.
Yeah, it's, and also, like, it's stupid. It's ugly. Like, it looks, even if, you know, because I think, you know, some the kids are kind of, like, struggling because they learned it fast and whatever. Uh-huh. Even if it was, like, a bunch of pro dancers, I still think it would have been underwhelming. It is so weird and dumb, and why is it reversed?
I don't know. Which is so, like, I mean, I'm, like, Zach Woodley's number one fan. I just, do you think Marissa was the one who choreographed this then? Because Zach wasn't in the room for it.
I think it was Brooke. I think this.
Oh, Brooke. Marissa. Names are so hard for me.
I was like.
Yeah, Brooke.
I was so lost. It's like, I don't think they would allow a contestant to choreograph.
Why would Marissa do it? No, I meant Brooke.
Okay, yes. I don't know.
I love Zach Woodley, choreography regularly, so a pride part of me wants to save my boy.
That choreography is whack.
It was ugly.
It's bad. Marissa gone too soon. This is, frankly, if you take one thing away from Glee Project Season 1, it's that Marissa's gone too soon.
Yeah,
my other thing is, scalding take, Sarah, I think the Glee Project is cool and sounds good.
God, if we were any smarter, we would have written a new jingle.
Frankly, hear me out. I think it's an unpunchable jingle. I think it can't be improved on. The Glee Project.
Oh, that sure. One. Well, we could say Recovering Gleek.
I think it
with
rocks.
With Ian and Lena.
So agree to disagree.
Sarah, thank you so much for that message.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Up next, we have a message from Miranda.
Hey guys, Merry Christmas and happy, happy holidays. Oh, this should be a note before this.
Oh, yes.
So Miranda sent us this on like Christmas Eve, but we were trying to get all of our podcasting for last week done before Christmas Eve Christmas. So we had already recorded that minisode by the time that we received this email. So that is why we are having like a Christmas themed email like a full 10 days after Christmas. So,
but listen, y'all, I'm sad. Give me this. I have COVID.
Back to
I'm stuck in my room alone. I'm allowed to think about a holiday for a second.
Yeah, frankly, the last time Lena had freedom was during Christmas, so it will continue to be Christmas for her until she's allowed to leave. It's
listen,
like
y'all,
how during
another spoiler for the next episode is I got exposed on Christmas, so Christmas was essentially freaking stolen from me. So let me have this.
Yeah, it was a really rough go. If you put up a stink about this, you're bullying Lena.
You're bullying me, and I know you don't want to bully me.
Truly,
I will cry. Go ahead, Ian.
Miranda says, "Hey guys, Merry Christmas
Miranda,
and happy happy holidays."
Question. Do you hate when people?
What?
Say your name in the Miranda voice. Please let us know.
How? Do it right now.
Miranda. Ian and I just realized yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
That we both like Miranda Sings. I love learning new things about you, buddy.
Once again, being stuck in the 2010s, Lena and I are
Mirfandas.
Both Mirfandas.
I can't move on.
Remember that pop culture moment? It's truly inescapable for a few years there.
Seriously. And honestly, it's so crazy. I hated being a teenager. Why do I idolize like the media so much for my teenage years? Look at our stupid podcast from my teenage years. Oh my gosh. I just want to be 20. Random.
Now, I have to like talk myself down from being like 2013 was my prime. And I saw a tweet. I saw a tweet today, New Year's Day, everyone. I was scrolling through Twitter, which was a mistake. And someone retweeted like a very, very, very old meme.
Yeah.
That a very 2010s meme. It's just like a picture of London with like a filter over it. And then it just has like text over it. And it says 2013 is going to be my year. And they just like retweeted it as a joke. And I read it and I was like, wait. But was
That's
2013
so
kind of my year? And then I had to be like, Ian, chill out. Chill out. You're just remembering the excitement of being young and starting out in the world.
Oh my gosh. Jeez. That's so funny.
Man,
2013 is going to be my year.
Honestly, though, 2013 was low-key kind of my year and I miss it. Let's bring that energy back.
I know. 2013 was my sophomore year of high school, I think.
It would have been...
It was a pretty good year for
me. That's when I graduated. So it would have been... Yeah, that should be your...
Well, it would have been 13 and 14. So my junior year, straight up, was so good.
Did you graduate in 14 or 15?
15.
Oh, I got confused. You're correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, you and me, we have a weird age gap where we're truly only a year apart, but we're 2 years apart in school.
I know. That's where I always get confused, because I was like the youngest in my grade and you were the oldest in your
I'm
grade.
I'm the oldest, yeah.
So my brain cannot compute.
I know.
How many grades we were apart.
Honestly, you said 2013 and I tried to do like the mental math to try and like figure out how old you were, and I genuinely couldn't do it. I failed 10th grade math, y'all. That was 2013.
I mean, it could have still been your year.
I mean, listen, I thrive. My math grades aside. Miranda, I'm so sorry. But I really want to know. Will you tweet us?
All right. Back to Miranda.
Will you say Miranda in a Miranda voice?
The thing is, I never had a Miranda impression except with my eyebrow.
Are you kidding?
This is not a visual medium. The one Miranda I'd always remember is Miranda sings vlogs.
I had this friend in high school who I was obsessed with. She was a year older in school than me, and I just thought that she was the best person on the planet. And I ended up buying her Haters Back Off sweats. Mm-hmm. But her and I would just exclusively speak to each other that way. We'd be like, Haters Back Off.
That was, speaking of 2013, like when I think of 2013, it's when I started college, and so I was like just around a bunch of theater kids, and it was just a bunch of freaking 18-year-olds speaking in the Miranda voice 24/7. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how did we not go insane from that?
I did.
Shoot. Well, Miranda, all this to say, we're about to read your email. Let's get into it.
Oh, that was fun. I hope it was fun for everyone else.
Hey, guys. I wonder how many people listening to this have no idea who Miranda Sings is.
I'm sure everyone has like as at least seen her, right?
I don't know, because she's not, I mean, like, she's still around, but she's not as culturally relevant. Truly, Miranda Sings was lightning in a bottle like 2011 to 2012. I mean, 2009 to 2012 is when she like exploded.
True. One of my favorite pictures of all time, and I'm sure you've seen it. It's a photo of Miranda Sings performing at 54 Below, mm-hmm. With like Megan Hilty and Annalie Ashford, pardon me, and like freaking Ariana Grande.
Well, and Colleen used to have Ariana in her videos. Like, I knew who Ariana Grande was.
Like, friends. I know, right?
As
I
was like Colleen Ballinger's friend. That's how I knew who she was.
And then she blew up. No, totally. I remember I genuinely for a long time thought that Miranda was Ariana Grande's
voice teacher,
genuinely, because that was their big joke. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, 11, 12, 13 at the time. And I was like, mm-hmm, for sure. I buy that. Anyway, Miranda, to your email.
All right. Hey, guys, Merry Christmas. Happy, happy holidays. Third time's a charm. I'm sure you'll be flooded with messages this week from people with rightfully very strong feelings about the Glee Project and may not have time to read this. But if you do have time, I'd love to hear your thoughts on something. I saw this picture on Twitter and have been sending it to all my friends and family just to hear the drama, fights, and deeply offended horror it's causing. It's a March Madness bracket for the best Christmas movie. Obviously, this podcast qualifies as friends and family. Lots of love and wishing you a sexy, cozy, stress-free holiday. Miranda from Kansas, she, her.
Miranda.
My name is Miranda. You can call me Miranda.
Listen, Miranda, I'm glad that you consider us friends and family, because we just riffed on your message for a minute. I love you, Miranda. Thank you so much for sending this. I'm ready to party and get these Rhett and Link style, really like debate on what's the best Christmas movie? And I know for a fact, I see these movies and I know we're going to disagree on some, but listen, Ian likes Christmas more than me. So yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
So I opened this up. I read the list and I said, I already know what my top two are and what my top one is going to be. But, we'll see if something changes along the way.
Yeah, we'll see. So, I'm also in the mix. My Halloween ass is in the mix. So let's Christmas party.
Okay. So up first, We have.
We'll post this online as well.
Up first, we got Jingle All the Way versus the Ron Howard How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I think this is unanimous between us.
Yeah.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I've never seen Jingle All the Way.
Me neither. I couldn't even tell you who is in that. Let me zoom in. Oh, is it? Oh, it's Arnold.
It's the Arnold Schwarzenegger one. I have heard of this movie. I've never seen it, though.
I've never seen it either. So, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, obby. The next one is the How the Nightmare Before Christmas. Oh, what? The Nightmare Before Christmas.
How the Nightmare Stole Christmas. Frankly, that is the plot of the movie, so.
Where did I get that?
What's How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Oh, do you ever, I think this is a symptom of a larger issue I have, where I like periphery see other words and stick them where they don't go. Anyway, Nightmare Before Christmas versus Muppet Christmas Carol. This is the very first one I saw, and I was like, Ian and I are going to disagree on this one.
And we do disagree on this
one. We do disagree. Because I've got a Halloween butt. But listen, I love the Muppet Christmas Carol, so I will concede.
I love Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. I went through a huge, speaking of loving the 2010s.
The grip that this movie had on us in 2010.
When it fully came out in the 90s.
What resurgence?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
But like, I do absolutely love this movie. And if it was against, frankly, nearly any other movie on this list, it would pass.
And that's why I concede, because I just know you. I know you love, and I love Muppet Christmas Carol. I think that is maybe, I think it's the best like retelling of Christmas Carol, frankly. I don't know why people do that play.
Why are people up there? My mom will go to her grave swearing that the only way you can make Tiny Tim not be corny is by having him be played by Robin the Frog.
Seriously, like, I agree.
Only way.
And he is so cute. So I will concede on this one.
Sure. All right, up next, we got Love Actually versus Frosty the Snowman.
Have you ever seen Love Actually?
No, so I can't actually weigh in on this one.
Everything I know about you says you haven't seen Love Actually. Have you seen Frosty the Snowman?
I have, and it's fine.
Yeah, I like Love Actually, a lot. Love Actually is one of those things that it's like Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve, those movies where it's like a bunch of different stories. So yes. I really like some of the stories, really hate some of the other ones. So I'm going to say Love Actually, but with that caveat.
You know what I have seen, though? Glee, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Buckle up for season 4 Christmas,
buckle
you guys.
Buckle up, y'all.
Here we go.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so what are we moving forward?
The next one is
Moving forward Frosty or Love Actually?
Oh, Love Actually.
Okay, cool.
The next one is Elf versus A Christmas Story.
This is a hard
one. I have to say Elf. Listen, I really enjoy A Christmas Story. I really do, but the place that Elf has in my my young heart, like, this movie was made for my generation. So I, Elf.
No, I agree. I love A Christmas Story so much. Mm-hmm. But you know what's made me cry? Elf. You know what hasn't made me cry? A Christmas Story.
No.
There you go. We got A Charlie Brown Christmas versus Die Hard. I bet you have no idea which one I'm going to pick. Charlie Brown Christmas, baby.
Obviously, me too. We come from a big Charlie Brown house. It is not a holiday without watching a Charlie Brown special.
A Christmas, we're just like, the main character's like kind of sad.
Yeah.
And then at the
end,
his friends are like, it's okay that you're sad. Let's hang out.
I know.
Like, come on.
I talk about my sad Christmas playlist ad nauseum on this podcast, and the cover of it is Charlie Brown on the wall saying, it just doesn't feel like Christmas is how it's supposed to feel. And I'm like, that's it. Are you kidding?
Hear me out. Charles Schulz was really decades before his time.
I know.
Him writing a popular comic book series about a child with clinical depression, like, did he predict our entire generation?
I know, he sure did. I swear, every response I ever have to anything is in the same tone as I got a rock. You know what I mean?
I got a rock.
I got a rock. Yeah, Sir Charlie Brown, no question. I honestly also have never seen Die Hard.
I haven't either. Don't tell anyone.
Literally keep it a secret, you and me, that no one else gets to know.
So, oh wait, it's your turn, sorry.
My turn. The next one is The Santa Claus versus It's a Wonderful Life. Y'all, I already told you, Neil is such a punk in The Santa Claus, I can't in good conscience pick this one. And It's a Wonderful Life is the Christmas movie.
You'll hear no fights from me on that. Then we got Miracle on 34th Street, but specifically the OG one, not the 90s one. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I said Miracle on 34th. You know, Rudolph is a classic. It reminds me of being a kid. But you know what I don't like about Rudolph? Santa is such a bitch in that movie. What's it about? He's so mean. My dad, frankly, didn't like us watching it as kids because
it's
he was
very
like...
stressful.
He's like, this is not how kids should be viewing Santa.
Like, he's going to come into our house.
Yeah, we don't want like this freaking bully and body shamer like coming down our chimney.
This is the one with the Island of Misfit Toys, right?
Yes.
Okay. I like this movie. I have never seen Miracle on 34th Street.
Frankly, the 90s one is better. The 90s,
I've never seen that one either.
The whole conceit of Miracle on 34th Street is literally Santa Claus gets taken to court because everyone is like, you're deranged. You're a crazy man who thinks that he's Santa Claus. And they have to like prove legally that he is Santa Claus. Hear me out.
Legally,
it sounds bonkers.
You have to like provide like some like proof of
that's the thing in the like
proof of residency or whatever that's called
in the OG black and white one. It is a stretch and a leap of logic. You like really, really, really have to suspend disbelief. In the 90s one, I was like, speaking as the jury, you've convinced me. Like, the 90s one is good.
You're like, as an objective third party, also, not guilty.
There is one scene. I don't know if I could talk about this without crying.
Oh, I love that.
It's only in the 90s one. So the deal is not to like wax on about Miracle on 34th Street.
I'm ready for it.
It's such a beautiful story. So the conceit is Macy's in the original, a pretend department store in the 90s one because Macy's pulled out their whatever that's called, sponsorship. They have lost their Santa for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's an emergency. They need someone. They just like this old man in the crowd is really good with like pretending to be Santa. So they're like, last minute, you come be our Santa. He's a runaway success. He becomes the main Macy Santa. He's like Santa in their store, blah, blah, blah. Little do they know he's actually the real Santa Claus.
So that was just like,
yeah, just like it all worked out.
Crazy random happenstance.
And then the Macy's like biggest competitor tries to buy him over to their side and he's like, no. And then they freak out. They stage a situation to make it look like he's mentally unwell.
So like JCPenney's?
it honestly, I think in the original one, it might be an actual real department store that was Macy's competitor and they're like fully the bad guys. Wow. And then the 90s one, they just make it up. But so after the competitors can't buy him out, they then hire someone to provoke him to make it look like he's mentally ill and should be locked up. And he gets like sent to prison and all of this stuff. And it's very sad. And there is this moment in the 90s one where the pretend Macy's is trying to cut ties with him because it's bad PR. And the woman who was in charge of hiring him goes to the higher ups and she's like, you are such cowards. Like, this man has done such good for our store. He has done like such good for the community. He's brought so much joy and happiness. And now when he needs our help, like, you're not going to stand behind him. You're just going to turn your back on him. And so then pretend Macy's has a heel turn. They're like, we should support him. They release a commercial that's like, we want all of you who like met Saint Nicholas to show your support and show that you believe in Santa Claus. And then it does a montage of just a bunch, because it's just people like showing their support and that like, you know, they're gonna stand by him and blah blah blah. And it does a montage of just different stuff in New York where it's like one of the highways and it's like the highway number one, like highway number whatever workers believe, and then it's like a little girl in a window holding up a sign that says like I believe in Santa, and then it's like these bridge workers believe in Santa, and I watching it this year that scene was happening and I literally started to say this scene always makes me cry, and the second a single word got out of my mouth I got too choked up and I couldn't finish the sentence.
Oh, buddy.
All is to say I'm voting for Miracle 34th Street.
That one can move on. But Santa is lovely in Miracle on 34th Street and is a body shamer in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Truly.
So the next one is Home Alone 1 or 2 versus The Polar Express. I have a strong opinion about this one.
Okay, what is your strong opinion?
Home Alone.
Good.
Home Alone.
Character in The Polar Express came straight out of a nightmare. I don't need to see that movie again.
And listen, it's fun. And listen, I love you, Tom Hanks, forever, forever, forever. I love you. But Home Alone is, I generally say Home Alone is my favorite Christmas movie because it's so good. The stakes are so high.
It's fun. And
Kevin
also,
is so brave, and he walks outside of his house and he goes, I'm not afraid anymore. I cry every time. You cry at the beautiful montage. I cry at Kevin declaring his bravery.
It also has something that is imperative to a Christmas comedy, which is a whole lot of heart at the center. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, the stuff with the neighbor and his son is so touching, and I love it. I agree. Home Alone all the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
I could go on and on about how much I love that movie. All right. Secondary time.
Round two, baby.
Tell me what we have. I don't know what's on it, so you're going to have to read it from now on.
It is now How the Grinch Stole Christmas versus Muppet Christmas Carol. This is where we get in a fight.
I don't want to fight.
I will literally die on the hill that Muppet Christmas Carol is better than How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
And like, I understand what you mean. I understand that it's better, but it doesn't mean I like it more. You know what I mean? And I told you, I wasn't a Muppet kid. I wasn't a Muppet kid. You know what I was? A Jim Carrey kid.
I was absolutely not a Jim Carrey kid.
I know. And you've only seen that movie, like, what, one time ever?
I've seen it twice.
Maybe twice?
Yeah. I've seen it twice because I saw it when I was a kid and then I watched it again last Christmas.
And I mean, I have like lots of like fun memories with this movie. It's one of my family favorites. I understand what you're saying. And I will let you move on Muppet Christmas Carol, but I want the world to know that I disagree.
We
could also flip a coin. We could also flip a coin. That's what Red and Link do.
We could.
I'm going to do it. Okay, I'll ask Siri. Okay, call it. Heads or tails?
Tails.
Okay. Siri, heads or tails?
It's tails.
Damn it!
Muppet Christmas Carol lives on another day, baby. Okay, I think this next one we're going to agree on. Love Actually versus Elf.
Elf.
Obviously. Cool. Okay, then we got Charlie Brown Christmas versus It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay, this is the one we have to flip a coin because I refuse to let a Charlie Brown Christmas not go on. And listen, I love you, buddy, but this isn't just your bracket. It's our bracket.
I know. Okay, let's flip a coin. I'm just saying tails again.
Okay. Heads or tails?
It's heads this time.
I can't continue with the bracket.
I know, because It's a Wonderful Life is your like favorite movie ever. But sorry about it. Charlie Brown is everything to me.
I have no comment. Okay, Miracle on 34th Street versus Home Alone.
Home Alone.
Yeah, I agree. Specifically because it is the like black and white Miracle on 34th Street.
It's not even the one with fake JCPenney.
Yeah, come on. Okay, Muppet Christmas Carol versus Elf.
I love Elf. I understand you. I like Muppet Christmas Carol. I'm not a Muppet kid.
Yeah. Here's the deal.
I like Elf a lot. I really love Elf.
We already booted out my favorite movies, so I already lost. It's a Wonderful Life would have won. So at this point, it's more your bracket. So let's move Elf on.
More your bracket? What are you talking about? Well, we could flip a coin if you wanted.
No, because I want to see, I frankly my winning pick is gone. So like anything that I move forward will be disingenuous. So I'm more interested to see you grapple between like movies that you love.
Okay,
you
fine know? Then, Elf.
Although I do love Elf. Okay. And then we got Charlie Brown Christmas versus Home Alone.
Ooh, that's hard for me. That's really hard for me. That's hard for me. I'm going to say Charlie Brown.
Heck yeah. Elf versus Charlie Brown Christmas. What's winning?
Charlie Brown.
Heck yeah. Charlie Brown Christmas, baby.
Charlie Brown, out of all the Charlie Browns in the world, you're the you're the Charlie Browniest.
That's so true.
Vince Guaraldi, are you freaking kidding? The best, it's the best sound like score ever.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, love you, Charlie Brown. Happy you won. Miranda, I hope this list wasn't too disappointing, as I know it was to Ian.
It's Wonderful Life is the winner, but alas, Siri really had chopped its head clean off.
Mwahaha. Well, heck, y'all. That's our mini-sode. Hope you had fun. I hope you had a fun and safe New Year's. I hope this new year for you brings in like so much love and fun times and friendship and just like all good. Cause you know what, y'all? You deserve it.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Tune in Wednesday for our exciting conclusion of season one of The Glee Project. Wow, wow, wow. Who's going to win? We don't know. It's a real nail biter.
I know, guys. I have place your bets now. I have a lot of money on Lizzie Pierce.
Yeah, it's anyone's game, frankly.
Yeah, seriously.
Goodness sakes.
Well, if you guys watch, what are the next episodes we have going on? We have Believability. We have, the next one is, do you know?
Something, Generosity and Gleality.
Yes. So those are the next three episodes. Go ahead and watch those.
You can find them on Daily Motion, baby.
Go watch them on Daily Motion. They're like backwards and also slow sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of people have messaged us about like, I can't believe how you didn't talk about how they sing all the songs so slow. The reason that happens on Daily Motion is because to avoid copyright, they have slowed down every song artificially. Yeah. So just put it on 1.25 speed.
I know. Like, and you know, a lot of the music videos I found are on YouTube. That's where I go rewatch them. Mm-hmm. So if that bothers you, a lot of them are on YouTube. And also, sorry, love you. We got to find a way to watch this. But if you have thoughts on the next three episodes you want to share with us, you can send them to our email, recoveringleak@gmail.com.
Heck yeah. Happy New Year, everyone. You know, these last 2 years really were years that happened.
I know. I think I aged like 50 years.
Truly. I saw a tweet this morning that said, was not anticipating 2020 being a trilogy, and amen. Yeah. But you know, we got through it together, and we're going to keep getting through it together. So here's to 2022. See you here, same time, same place for the rest of this year.
Totally. Well, I mean, I have COVID, but I will give you a socially distanced kiss on your socially distanced forehead if you accept it.
Bye, everyone.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.